Joan also taught. She's can always meet. You always can tell teachers, they're always ready to praise other teachers. I love them. Thanks, that was amazing. I hope that was recorded. I'm going to start with the new one, and it's a little odd. It's called the Red Binder Clip. We poured into a vat and then out a duct toward the mole the rumors were. Waifs and kid bodies shadowed our run. I swam in a colorless melt, in a trough, in a factory in Cambodia, before everything I knew I could run. I raced among so much other, toward a shape and a color, and my friends and I, my parents, we imagined what the glorious end would be like, how much of sister and brother would be part of me, would I find myself apart from myself in a pen cap, and some of me in a girl's barrette, the latch of a toolbox, maybe a broom's handle, maybe better, a more purposeful life as a medical supply. Useful in elegance, the dream. I was the one who noticed the sides of the trough as we spilled forward past marker 10 on the assembly line. The others barely noticed the temperature changes. This is heat, I'd say. I'd make a comment on the cooler air outside, and my classmates laughed at me. I told them, we are all tumbling toward our destiny. Make haste. Say what you always wanted to say. Once my mother noticed the ceiling, and I told her it was sky. All this time, she said, it was right above us. We become slices, soft, then hard, but always in a shape, in a form, with a name and a use. That is what we have become. I can connect sheets of paper. May it be a manuscript. A small collection, but tidy. It will make a beautiful woman cry at the straightness of its vision. She will squeeze me open and set me down, file through the poems, not remember where she put me, though I am the color of her tongue, her blood, her painted lips, and she presses me against them. I wonder at the origin of all her soft tissue, how it keeps its viscosity, and how it does not melt into the seat she presses, how she knows herself separate from the cushion and the floor, how she knows anything. Okay, this one, Joan mentioned Italian Americana. This one's coming out in that journal next, in the winter. Okay, it's called Like Cattle. It's a light blue bumpy world where the boot of Italy is a broken stick and the U.S. spreads out in largesse. We find Libya on the globe at our knees. He spins what sounds hollow, a papier-mâché toy. I am 16. CNN is new. It broadcasts crowds cheering General Gaddafi. Dark-haired heads gather like cattle. I agree, they look Italian. He spins the world once, hits it to stop it. He says he was in Rome in a crowd once, too. Because America bombs North Africa, someone has filmed curly heads of short men that are bullied by their pride. And my grandfather, once black-shirted fascist, cocksure, tallest of short men, sees himself in Muslim crowds and says, I didn't know much when I was young. I don't sully the air between us. I don't tell him what my father, his son, said, that there's nothing to be done with fascists, even old ones, except kill them. Okay, so another, I guess, Italian-American editor is over at Patterson Literary Review. Ha-ha, this one's coming out in the winter. This one she picked, I forget her name. Gillen is her last name. Cool. Maria Mazziotti Gillen. Okay, so I've got four poems. This is the third one. It's five sonnets, and it's called Aunts. And it's in disingenuous. I usually call my aunts aunts, but it's better just to go with aunts in this poem. Aunts. One. In the sewing room on a low-legged stool, she pleated the biases of blouses for customers with torpedo breasts. Their nakedness doubled in the standing mirror, tipped backward like it was nodding off. Sometimes the mammoth nudes came in groups, and the measuring and the pinning took the time the sun took to climb the neighbor's house outside the window. I'd follow the wallpaper of tumbling blossoms, stare at the carpet loops full of dropped pins, tiny swords winking in sunlight, coats and purses heavy beside me on her divan. I'd collect the money, belt the bills with rubber bands, stash the cash up the skirt of the hollow Madonna in my aunt's room. Two. Sometimes we name the babies after them. They that leave us their Argentinian jewelry, a fox head scarf, canvas bags of letters, Caribbean shells, maybe the lake house. We inherit cherished china and white leather driving gloves, so small not even the children can put them on, in a box with a recipe for Brandy Alexander's. We find her in a photo of strangers in a New York office. Nobody remembers when it was. Her name an odd or lovely surprise. Her hands were soft, mother said. Never had to wash more than one plate at dinner. We children visit them in dollhouses. We are the heirs too. Three. Once at her house for days, I organized her drawers, polished her silver, wiped the crystal drops of her chandelier, and grew tired of her loneliness. Though the sofa opened into a generous bed, though the summer belonged only to us, I felt burdened with her aunt love. One night, she sat down, the heavy Bakelite phone receiver, gathered herself and her slippers, rubbed a walk down the carpeted hall to the room. Was she crying to announce my sister was born? I did not stir much, imagining sisters were friends and my mother mine. I would join them soon in the room, the wallpaper rain, blood blossoms in the dark. Four. At the Strip District cheese counter, I am Sophia Loren in a pencil skirt, rolling my R's. I pretend I know my place in the world. I stand in front of the honest grocer asking the price of Parmigiano. I look like I'm waiting for him to wrap the quarter pound in parchment. But I am in that sunny sewing room where the wallpaper shook out its hair and open roses burst everywhere, expecting sisters to be friends, my breasts to grow into torpedoes, milk babies who would emerge from the purse of my body. Five. One night, I sit with my baby sister in a paneled room, a coffee table between us, pillows propped on our laps, and suggest we switch fates. You go to New York, travel, date, finish school. I will be the baby's mother. It is a thing you say only once. She sits pregnant on a sofa. We stare at each other, pretend I am joking. She tosses a pillow to the corner chair. One day her child will draw a family tree with me, the aunt, at the end of a branch with nothing attached, not even air. That was a nice sound. I think I will leave you with this love poem. The lady at the dry cleaners loves my husband. And she does. Sorry, Al. It's all right. I love him too, so I say praise her and him for their easy conversation, how they puzzle together over the ancient machine that gets stuck in jams despite her foot's insistent pedaling. Praise her. Thinning yellow hair and watered-down eyes, her begrudging smile when she sees me. Praise as she fills in the blanks of the new laundry ticket, how she knows my husband's name, his phone number. Blessed is her heart. How she looks shiny-eyed when I ask about her vacation to see the ghosts at the penitentiary. Praise her cell phone. How it captures a light that she calls the aura of the 19th century inmate who manhandles the tourists, sends the weak-hearted out the door. Blessed is her unnecessary question. Ticket? Praise the care she takes with his work uniform. Blessed is the moment we stand in front of each other with the button-down blue long sleeve swinging between us. Say hi to Al for me. Before I do, I drive home with the windows down. Absent of his body, his plastic wrap shirt reaches for me. Thanks a lot.